In God's Word tonight, Acts chapter number 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." When we come to Acts chapter number 6, we see the first and the beginning of the institution of the office of a deacon. And in our church, and we believe in God's word, there are two offices: the office of pastor, the office of deacon. And God uses both of those offices in conjunction to do the work and fulfill the purpose of the gospel through the ministry of our church. I'm thankful for a deacon. I'm thankful for the ministry. And the word deacon is a word that can be sometimes misunderstood, but the word deacon literally means servant, attendant, aid, waiter. And God in his word knew that the men that were preparing and preaching and praying and proclaiming the doctrine of the Bible to the congregations of the churches could only do so much. And God instituted a group of faithful men who had proven themselves to help, to aid, to serve, and to be a blessing. Tonight I want to talk to you just a little bit about the biblical deacon. First thing I want to bring to your attention is the purpose of a deacon. The purpose of a deacon is to help in the ministry, to fulfill ministry needs. Look at the Bible says in our text, chapter 6, verse 1, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied," the church was growing, and the number of people who had come to faith in Christ was multiplying and growing, and the needs of the people and the ministry of the church was growing. The Bible says, "There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." It came to a point where there was need and there was even neglect. Now, I'll tell you, churches and deacons and pastors, they make mistakes along the way, and all God's people said amen. And the preacher says amen, hallelujah. Makes mistakes along the way. But what we should do when we come to a place where we have a need, we act on it and we do what's right. And God teaches us in his word that the work is to be spread out, and many hands make light work, and we're to be working diligently. And one of the offices and one of the great important places is the office of the deacon. The purpose of the deacon: there was ministry needs. There was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. If there's ever a murmur around here, it's the deacon's fault. Don't forget that. I'm just kidding. There was a murmuring. There was a need. The widows were being neglected. And so God led the early church to begin the deacons. There was ministry needs. What was the purpose? The ministry needs. What was the purpose? To protect the priority of preaching and prayer. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Now, this is an interesting passage of Scripture and a verse that the pastor, I use it with fear and trembling and carefully, because I love the opportunity to serve tables, and I love the opportunity to help people. I would much rather get up in the morning and run a chainsaw than to go to my office and study. But I'll just tell you something. I cannot in good conscience do the work and work like I want to or I ought to, the work of helping people, if I neglect the word and neglect the doctrine and neglect the prayer. You see, the greatest purpose and the reason we have a pulpit and a preacher and the preaching is because we want our children to hear the gospel. We want to know and grow in the word of God. And it is the truth we find in the Bible that makes a difference, that changes the world. And God's given a pastor a great privilege, but it also must be a priority, first priority, that the word of God not be neglected. The Bible needs to be studied, loved, proclaimed, preached, taught, and the primary purpose of the pastor is to preach the word and walk with God. And so, the Bible says, and the apostles speaking said, it's not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So, they said this, verse number 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They said, find some guys that can take care of it. Find some guys that can take care of it. But don't just pick anybody. Pick some guys, the Bible says, that are of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. We may appoint over this business, verse number 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There was a priority, and it was a protection, and the men that were called to be deacons were to take that role. What was the primary role of the deacon? The primary role of the deacon was not necessarily leadership. The primary role of the deacon was service. And may God help us to be faithful servants of the Lord. They were serving and helping and working. The purpose of the deacons was also the increase of the word of God and the multiplication of the disciples. What happened? When the deacons did their job, when the deacons did what they were supposed to do in the early church, the Bible gives us this beautiful picture. Verse number 6, verse number 7, the word of God increased. What happened when the deacons did their job? The word of God increased. I'll just tell you something. If we want God to move among us in our community and in our state and in our world, the word of God must increase. And we must be looking and striving and working to get the word of God everywhere we can possibly get the word of God. And the word of God increased. How? Why? Because the deacons and their faithful service to the Lord and tending to the cares of the church, the deacons set the preacher free to take the word, and it is the word of God that changes the world. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We talk about how can they hear, how can they believe, how can they be saved? Except they hear. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. There was a necessity, there was a need, and God used deacons to fill that role, and the product of the deacons was the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What happened? The deacons did their job. The preachers did their job. The word of God increased. The disciples multiplied greatly. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. And I believe God's plan must be better than ours. And if we'll put things in the right order, we can rest in God's plan. The purpose of the deacon was to meet the needs of the church and to serve faithfully. Number 2, the person of a deacon. If you look here in our text, the Bible gives us some insight into what he looks like. The Bible says in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The first 3 characteristics of a deacon were that they were honest, that they were full of the Holy Ghost, and they were full of wisdom. If you'd take and turn in your Bibles over a few pages, the book of 1 Timothy, most famous passage of Scripture regarding a deacon, we find in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 begins in the first 7 verses describing the office of a bishop. In the scriptures, bishop and elder is used interchangeably and represents the same office as the pastor. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 8, the first 7 verses are dedicated to the pastor, to the elder. Verse number 8 through 13 is given to the deacon. Likewise, like the pastor, the Bible says, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree of and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. And Paul lays out the person of a deacon. Let's just look at the description. The person of a deacon. It's a serious matter. The person of a deacon, honest, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. The person of a deacon, verse number 8, grave. Grave. That doesn't mean dead. Grave. It's serious, sober. This is real. This is the real deal. A deacon should never take on the position of a deacon lightly at all. It's serious. It's something that God calls men to do. And God leads people to do. It's a necessity of the church. Grave. The Bible says in verse 8, not double-tongued. Not double-tongued. Have you ever met somebody that's double-tongued? My pastor, Clarence Sexton, tells the story of his first pastor. He was 19 years old, and he had a deacon's meeting. He was trying to move forward on some things, and he had a deacon's meeting. He thought, man, everything's going great. I mean, this is just wonderful. They had a deacon's meeting, and they got a unanimous vote from the deacons on a matter they were going to move forward on, and this is great. So he stands up in front of the church, and he says, now, church, this is what we've talked about in the deacon's meeting, and I want to present to the church. We have come unanimously as a united front to move forward in this matter. And one of the deacons that had voted for it in the deacon's meeting voted against it in the business meeting. Can you imagine? Well, Pastor Sexton couldn't help it. He had to ask him. He said, what in the world did you do? He said, well, Pastor, as a deacon, I'm for it. But as a church member, I'm against it. That, my friend, is double-tongued and double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. A deacon's a man that'll tell you what's right now and what's right later. If it hurts your feelings or not, the truth is the truth, is the truth is the truth. And honest, not double-tongued. The Bible continues and says this, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. Alcohol has no place in the life of a deacon. In my opinion, and I believe I can prove from the scripture, alcohol has no place in the life of a Christian. It leads to destruction. The Bible says, not greedy, a filthy lucre. Shouldn't be greedy. Spirit of a deacon should be generous, not greedy, a filthy lucre. Verse number 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. As far as I'm concerned, this is probably the most important one, but most often passed over. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. I just want you to know something. You know, it's a mystery to me what happened to me the day I got saved. I mean, I'm learning. The more I study the Bible, the more I begin to realize what God did the day I got saved. I didn't have to know every theological term and understand everything that the Bible has to teach about old things passing away, all things becoming new, the rebirth. I didn't have to know all that, regeneration. I didn't have to substitute. I didn't have to know all that. But I'll tell you something. When I got saved, something happened. God changed my life. It's a mystery all that God did to make an old sinner new and whole and clean again. It's awesome. The Bible says that the deacon should hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith, hallelujah, I'm saved. Pure conscience, and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. God's changed my life. The work of the gospel is of utmost importance. I met this guy one time. I know this guy, I should say. I've known him for years and years. He came up to me, and I'll just be honest with you, I would have never guessed in 1,000 years that he was even saved. I'd been around him, and there was no fruit of salvation ever when I was around. As a matter of fact, I would have thought the exact opposite. The guy came up to me and said, "Well, you'll never guess." I said, "Nope, I won't. What is it?" He said, "I'm a deacon at my church." I about fell over. I kept my mouth shut. The Bible says a fool uttereth his whole mind. But I'll just tell you, he was serving as a deacon in a Baptist church. And I'm not sure he believes the Bible is the Word of God. I'm not sure he believes Jesus is God, God's Son. I'm not certain that he believes that Jesus is the only way to heaven. But he's a deacon. I want you to know something. He may have the title of deacon of Baptist church, but he is not regarded by a righteous God as a deacon unless he's saved. Why? Because a deacon's a man that says, "Hey, something happened to me. I'm a changed man. I'm saved, and I know it. And the whole world needs to get what I got. And therefore, I'm willing to serve as a deacon in this church because the whole world needs to hear the gospel. I'm willing to hold up the hands of the preacher. And I'm willing to do what it takes to help get the gospel spread around the world because the mystery that I got in my heart when Jesus saved my soul, it is something that I know for sure, and it's the most important thing anybody can ever do." You see, if you get saved the way I got saved, you begin to realize everybody needs it. And I must dedicate my life to making sure that everybody hears it. The Bible says that the deacon holds the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Verse number 10, "Let these also first be proved." That word's proved. Now this is not a novice. This is not somebody brand new. Proved. It takes a long time to be proved sometimes. Let him be proved. Not a flash in the pan, not a jolt of emotion. Let him be proved. The Bible says, "Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless." A good testimony. It's not possible in this world to have a perfect testimony about every area. Blameless. Someone who says, "With the Lord's help, I'm doing everything I can to do things right, live uprightly, blameless." The Bible says, verse number 11, there's a person. The person has a wife, the wife of a deacon. The Bible says their wives must be grave. It's serious. Not slanderers. If you get slandered, that means somebody is yakking about you. Slander, not slanderer. A deacon's wife cannot be a slanderer. Sober, serious, faithful in all things, faithful. The Bible says in verse 12, it moves off of the wife back to the deacon and says, "Let the deacons be the husband of one wife." This is God's word and God's way, and we'll trust it. And be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. You can tell a lot about somebody by their fruit. How do you tell what kind of tree it is? By the fruit. How do you tell if it's a healthy tree? The fruit. The Bible says that the deacon rules well his own house and children. Why? Verse 13, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." There's a purpose. The purpose is to serve the Lord, help the pastor, bless the church. There's a person. The person is a man that meets these qualifications.